Let's turn then to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. I think there are some New Testaments in the bag over there if you don't have a Bible. So John chapter 12, and we've reached verse 27. So we're reading from verse 27 to 36. So Jesus is in Jerusalem. He had raised Lazarus from the dead and then had entered Jerusalem with vast crowds of people cheering him and crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." And then some Greeks came. They wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus then says his hour has come. And we pick up the reading in verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Imagine, after many months of careful preparation, the time has arrived. It might be an exam that you've been preparing for, or that big game that you're going to play in, or your wedding day, or even your first parachute jump. And though you've put a lot into this, you don't feel quite ready for it. You're nervous, maybe getting cold feet, but you know that you have to go ahead. You've wanted to do this for a long time, and now the time has come. You've come this far, you need to go for it. You know, it can be a little bit like that, becoming a Christian and getting baptized. You've heard a lot. You've had an interest in the gospel. You've come to know many things. You know that God is there, that he created the world, and you've come to see that, that you're not here by chance, but God has made you. You've come to see that the Bible is true, that it makes sense, the way it speaks about how God made us and made us to know him. And you see how the Bible explains why we have this longing for what is good, and yet we have this tendency to do wrong, because we are the children of Adam, and Adam sinned against God, and we have inherited that sin. And you believe that what the Bible says about Jesus is true, that he is the Son of God come from heaven. And you've seen that he's a wonderful person, both kind and powerful, both loving and strong, that he is both the Savior and the King to be followed. And so the time has come for you to say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to receive forgiveness from God. I want to get baptized. I want to follow Jesus and live for him." The time has come, but you're a bit scared. It's a bit like handing over the keys of your car to someone else. And now they're in the driving seat, directing your life, and you're having to trust them. Well, the verses that we read, I think, help us when it comes to that time. They show how Jesus himself, though troubled, he accepted what he needed to do. He had to face death. The time had come for him. We'll see what helped him to take up this huge challenge that he faced, how he was able to move forward and do what his father wanted him to do. But we'll also listen to his words when he urges the people to take this step of faith. They too need to take up the challenge. So we're going to look at this passage under three headings. And firstly, we're going to see the opportunity that needs to be taken. The opportunity that needs to be taken. Jesus says in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He goes on to talk about being that grain of wheat. We saw this last week, how the grain of wheat needed to be thrown into the ground where it would die, and only then would it produce many seeds. The hour has come for Jesus to die. He's prepared for this all of his life. This was the purpose for which he was sent into the world, sent by his Father. It had all been planned, even before time began. God's eternal purposes were converging on this hour in history. But Jesus feels disturbed within himself. We're told in verse 27 how Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" He's come to this point, this great point in history, but his soul is deeply troubled. Here is Jesus, who was able to sleep in a boat on a storm. Here is Jesus, who, when called to see a little child who was dying, was calm and able to stop and heal a woman who'd been unwell for 12 years. And then when they laughed Jesus to scorn because he said the girl was but sleeping, he went in and raised her back to life. Here is Jesus, who in the face of demons was in complete control and able to cast out those evil spirits. But now he is troubled. He knows that he is facing the greatest challenge he could ever face. It's a cruel, painful death. He knows how that death will happen. He says in verse 32, that he's going to be lifted up from the earth. Speaking of his crucifixion, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. But it's not just the awful agony of a crucifixion. He is also troubled because he knows that he is going to be bearing the sin of the world on his shoulder. He will take the wrath of God for that sin. Later on in Gethsemane, Jesus would ask his Father to spare him this ordeal. "May this cup be taken away from me," he says. But he submits. And here too, he submits to his Father. "Now my soul is troubled," verse 27. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He wants to escape from having to go through this, but then he immediately says, "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." This is the path that the Father had chosen for his Son, and this is the path that the Son chooses to accept. But notice this from our reading. Notice how Jesus' hour was also the occasion for the people to make a choice. They were to have the light with them for only a short while longer. Verse 35. Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you." It's a somber warning that Jesus gives. The age-long conflict between light and darkness is reaching its peak. Already in those vast crowds that had come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, already many were siding with Satan. Within days, the crowds would be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Jesus warns them here, lest they end up in darkness and wandering around. "Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. And they'd be manipulated and moved by the powers of darkness to cry out, "Crucify him." Now, says Jesus in verse 31, is the time for judgment on this world. Which side would they take? It's as if they're still in the sunlight, but a massive hurricane is approaching. Now, I've never been in a hurricane, but I've seen these dramatic photographs of the dark clouds, black with darkness. And here you can still be in the sunlight, and yet this hurricane is approaching. The evacuation is underway. Police are urging the people to leave their homes and to quickly get in the buses that will take them to a safe shelter. And that's the picture that Jesus has here. You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. He's urging them. In the parables that Jesus told, there are two or three times where he speaks about people being thrown into the darkness. So, for example, in Matthew 22, where he gives the parable of the wedding banquet, there's one there who refused to have the wedding clothes. And then the king has to say to the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There is a darkness to come, a darkness from which there is no escape. You know, when Jesus spoke like this, of people being thrown into that darkness, it was of people who had had the opportunity to believe. People like us here today. This is your opportunity, Jesus is saying to them. Verse 36, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Would you delay with a hurricane bearing down upon you? Of course not. You'd get into that bus to get to shelter and safety. How much more do you need to trust in Jesus Christ? Believe in the light while you have the light. Oh yes, it may seem scary, but you need to take that step. You need to believe in Jesus Christ and take that step and follow him to safety. Here is the opportunity that needs to be taken. Secondly, let's see the encouragement that the Father gives. We've seen the opportunity that needs to be taken. Secondly, the encouragement that the Father gives. Jesus was troubled in his soul, and yet he bowed himself to his Father's will and desired that his Father should be glorified. And at that point, a voice came from heaven. The Father spoke. Verse 28, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus had already been glorifying his Father's name through his good works, his miracles, his teaching. But God would glorify his name again. Through the death of Jesus, God's name would be glorified. And what a confirmation this was. The voice calling from heaven, the Lord God Almighty himself, the Father God speaking from heaven. These were great words of encouragement for Jesus. His death would not be in vain. It would bring glory to the Father. His desire is that the Father would be glorified through his death. And his Father calls from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." But Jesus says this was not really for his benefit, but this voice came from heaven for the benefit of the people there. A little bit like the way Jesus prays in front of Lazarus's tomb. And he says, Father, I've not said this, but I've said it for the people here that they would believe. Actually, the people didn't seem to understand the word. Some said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus says, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. They had heard at least the sound of God's voice, even if they didn't hear the words or understand the words. But they need to understand that the death that Jesus was going to was not a mistake or a disaster. It would bring glory to God. Now, this side of the cross and the resurrection, it's perhaps a little difficult for us to appreciate what the disciples were about to go through when Jesus was arrested and killed. It's a bit like we find it difficult to appreciate what it was like in the Second World War. We know the outcome, but people then didn't know the outcome. It's that much more troubling and difficult. But however shocking the disciples would find the death of Jesus, they could remember this occasion when the Father spoke from heaven and said he would glorify his name. As Jesus goes to the cross and faces all that agony and humiliation, the Father would be glorified. And so it was for their benefit that God spoke, and indeed for our benefit. Because we too are reassured by this voice from heaven, a voice that we can read these very words here in John's Gospel. And we too can be assured that the death of Jesus will bring glory to God. We too can know that Jesus really is God's appointed Saviour and Lord. And God would confirm again in the resurrection of Jesus that Jesus Christ really is the one whom he has appointed. And the Apostle Paul, when he preaches in Athens, he makes this very point to the people in Athens, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. And Paul sums up what he says to the people there. He's preached to them about the resurrection of Jesus, and then he says, "For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. God has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus is God's proof to the world that Jesus is the one. That Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the judge. The resurrection is God's proof. You know, it is no small thing to hand over the control of your life to another person, to bow to them, to serve them, to obey them, to entrust your life to them. Jesus promised in verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Jesus is calling you to serve him, to entrust your life to him, to believe in him, to take that step of faith, to get baptized, and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord. But God gives you every encouragement. You see, God gave his seal of approval to Jesus, who made that promise in verse 26, that whoever honors him, the Father would honor them. And God gives his seal of approval by calling from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Let me ask you, are you drawing back from your service of Jesus Christ? Are you finding you'd rather do your own thing? Maybe you have been baptized. Maybe you have professed Jesus as your Lord. Are you drawing back from him as the Lord of Lords? Have you lost sight of who Jesus Christ really is, that obedience to him is good, that trusting him is worthwhile, that in spite of difficulties and disappointments in your life, he is still worthy of your trust. God the Father encourages you to go on trusting and serving his Son Jesus. He calls you to be a servant. A servant doesn't always get what they want. A servant has to serve. That's what the Lord calls us to do. But he says this, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I encourage you today, go on serving. Go on trusting. The Father has given his encouragement. Well, we've seen the opportunity that needs to be taken, the encouragement that the Father gives, and then thirdly, the outcome that spurs us on. The outcome that spurs us on. You see, there is one more thing that encourages us to take this step of faith, to commit our life to Jesus Christ, to trust in him. And that is when we look at the outcome of the death of Jesus. You see, we need to ask this question, well, how does the death of Jesus glorify the Father? Here is Jesus, he's troubled in his soul. He says, Father, save me from this hour. But then he thinks, no, it was for this very hour that I came to this hour. And so he prays, Father, glorify your name. As he faces the cross, he wants the Father to be glorified. And the Father says, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again. But how does the death of Jesus glorify the Father's name? Well, Jesus tells us, and it's in two ways. Firstly, the death of Jesus brought the defeat of Satan. Verse 31. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Satan and all those on his side thought they were about to destroy Jesus once for all. The Sanhedrin had already issued the arrest warrant. They were plotting to kill Jesus, but they were plotting in vain. What they thought would be their day would turn out to be their defeat. The prince of this world, Satan himself, thought he would get Jesus. Satan, who had entered the world and tempted Eve, Satan, who brought so much evil and pain into this world, he is about to be driven out. God would be glorified. His kingdom alone will stand. His kingdom is the one to be part of. That's the first way the name of God would be glorified through the death of Jesus, by Satan being defeated. But the second way is that through his death, Jesus says he will draw all people to himself. Verse 32. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. All people, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles as well. All kinds of people from across the globe, so that in heaven there would be people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And it's interesting that all this is in the context of Greeks coming to Jesus or wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus is for the world. It fits with what Jesus said back in verse 23. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I will draw all people to myself. You see, the death of Jesus Christ would be successful. many seeds would be produced. Or in the verse words of verse 36, many would become children of light. This is how God is glorified. When people are drawn to his Son, people who were once in the kingdom of darkness, who now are rescued and brought into the kingdom of light, to become children of light. Satan is driven out, but people are drawn to Christ by Christ. You see, God is committed to saving people, and he will save many people. The outcome is certain. When Jesus stepped up, when his hour had come, and he stepped up to fulfill his Father's will, in that our hope and salvation are founded. Though he would be lifted up, as he says, on a cross in humiliation and agony, yet also that very word lifted up can also mean exalted. He would be glorified. The hour has come, verse 23, for the Son of Man to be glorified. He would succeed. And his success is none other than the likes of us being saved. It is impossible for God not to keep his word. Rather, it is to his glory that when you call on the name of his Son, he will save you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the way for you to glorify God is for you to call on his Son, Jesus Christ? Have you been thinking about becoming a Christian? About getting baptized? Maybe over many months, even years, this is something that you have thought about. And at times you've wanted more than anything else. I want to encourage you to take that step today. You know enough. You know the urgency. The judgment is coming. The darkness is there. So listen to what Jesus says in verse 36. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Let's pray.